Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Mudire. We're listening to some tapes. We listen to tapes while we do our karma, our job. And one time, one devotee, one lady, young girl at that time, probably, she asked Srila Prabhupada, "Well, is a pure devotee's picture as good as the pure devotee? Is Prahlad Maharaj, is he there in his picture?" So Srila Prabhupada said that there's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's Adwaita Gyan. There's no difference. Just like we have prayer that we chant, Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnave Swalpapunyavatam Rajan Vishvaso Naiva Jayate. Vishvaso means, of course, faith, na jayate, is not awakened in those who are Swalpapunyavatam. So they have very shortage of pious activities. They don't have faith in these items. What items? Mahaprasad, Govinda, Mahaprasad, Govinda, Nama, Brahmani, Vaishnavi. All these items, they're on the transcendental platform, as good as God. There is no difference. So we have a great opportunity today. We saw Vasant Panchami. This all these great personalities, Vishnupriya, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Raghunandan Thakur, Raghunath Das Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This is a disappearance day, otherwise it's the appearance day of the others. First of all, Vasant Panchami, they generally is accepted like that. It's a festival that's observed in India, general populace, not maybe everyone, but it's a big festival. Particularly Saraswati Puja. And Saraswati Puja, sometimes this day is also accepted as the appearance day of Saraswati Devi. Devam Saraswatim Vyasam. She is the goddess of learning, and we offer our obeisances to her when we chant this prayer. Especially students, they worship in, I think, in Bengal and northern India like that. And we know that because it's Vasant Panchami means the first day of spring. Panchami, this doesn't mean the fifth. Sometimes I've seen that we looked on our internet guru, Google, and some people say that it's the fifth day of spring, but Panchami refers to the phase of the moon. Mostly it's accepted as that, as Vasant Panchami means the first day of spring, but it's the fifth day of the moon, the waning moon, like that, just like Kadasi, Dwadasi, whole thing is there. What? Waxing moon, yes. So, Saraswati Puja, sometimes they also say some opinions were there that the birthday of Saraswati and the day that Lord Brahma made did the creation. So anyway, being the first day of spring, it's a festive occasion, and especially in Vrindavan, in Mayapur also, they dress the deities all yellow, and yellow flowers, yellow dress, everything is very nice, beautiful decorations are there. And people, the ladies, and they also wear yellow saris like that sometimes. And in northern India, sometimes in northern India, because it's the first day of spring, people are in festive vacation, they go out and fly kites. I don't know how the tradition started, but in Bombay, you can see many kites in the air flying on Vasant Panchami. It's a nice day. You have any idea how this tradition started? No? No. Okay. Flying kites? The gopis are painting flying kites?
Maybe the queens of Dwarka.
Queens of Dwarka? Okay, so it goes back a long time. All right, anyway. First of all, we want to speak about Pundarik Vidyaniti. Pundarik Vidyaniti is only appearance day. We don't have his disappearance day, I don't think, in the calendar. But anyway, since we've been given that name, we want to speak something about Pundarik Vidyaniti. First of all, sometimes, of course, very famous is the meeting between Gadadhar Pandit and Pundarik Vidyaniti. That is described in great detail in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhyakand, chapter 7. So it's described there that, first of all, in the chapter, it's described how Lord Chaitanya, when he was dancing one time in Kirtan with the devotees, he was calling out, Pundarik Bap. Bap is it's actually a word that can mean, what I've understood, at least I think in the dictionary, it usually means father, but it can also mean son in some cases. We've seen, and according to the dictionary, like that. But in this case, Srila Prabhupada also mentions, and it's also appropriate, as we'll describe later. So, Pundarik are mora bapera bandure kabe toma dekibo are ye re bapure apare. Oh, Pundarik, my father, friend, when will I see you, my dear father? So, when Lord Chaitanya was calling out Pundarik Bap, they were thinking, first of all, that this Pundarik could mean Krishna, and that all the devotees were calling out the name of Krishna. But when they heard this Vidyaniti, Pundarik Vidyaniti, they began to consider that he must be some great devotee. So they inquired from him later on that they, who is this Pundarik Vidyaniti? And Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says that his characteristics are most wonderful. Simply by hearing his name, the entire world becomes purified. His external appearance is just like a materialist. No one can recognize him as a Vaishnava. He took birth in Chattagram and is greatly learned Brahman. He is expert in following his religious duties and is honored by all. Oh, I'll read a few more verses here. He constantly floats in an ocean of devotional service to Krishna. His body is decorated with the symptoms of ecstatic love, like tears, shivering, and hair standing on end. He does not take bath in the Ganges, for he fears touching her waters with his feet. He takes darshan of the Ganges only at night. Many people disrespect the Ganges by rinsing their mouths, brushing their teeth, and washing their hair in her waters. On seeing these activities, he feels pain at heart. For this reason, he goes to the Ganga at night. Now, here another one of his wonderful characteristics. He drinks the water of the Ganges before worshiping the Lord. Then he worships the Lord and executes his other regular duties. In this way, he teaches religious principles to all learned scholars. He lives in Chattagram, yet he also has a house here. He will come soon, then you will all see him. So in this way, shortly afterwards, Lord Chaitanya is described that he attracted Pundarik to come there very soon afterwards. And when he came, he secretly resided in Navadvip, where everyone saw him as a gross materialist. He came with many servants, Brahmins, disciples, devotees, and paraphernalia. None of the Vaishnavas knew him except Mukunda, who immediately recognized him. the learned doctor Sri Mukunda knew him, for they were both born in Chattagram. So, of course, then Mukunda and Vasudev Datta knew the glories of his ecstatic love. So Mukunda invited the Gadadhar Pandit to go and see a great Vaishnava, and Gadadhar Pandit was very pleased to hear that. So I want to read this description here, because sometimes there's some kind of misconceptions about Pundarik Vidyanidhi. I've heard accounts that he's smoking on hookah and everything. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, at least, which is the most detailed description, there's nothing mentioned in that regard. So I'll just read that Gadadhar Pandit, when they came before Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Gadadhar Pandit offered his obeisances, and Pundarik offered him a seat. Vidyanidhi asked Mukunda, "What is his name, and where does he live? I can see that his body is effulgent due to his devotion to Vishnu. His appearance and nature are both enchanting." Mukunda said, "His name is Sri Gadadhar. He is fortunate because since his childhood he has been detached from family life. He is known as the son of Madhava Mishra. All the Vaishnavas have great affection for him. He is constantly engaged in devotional service and all of his associates with devotees. On hearing your name, he came to see you." Vidyanidhi was greatly satisfied to hear this and began to speak to him with great respect. The way Pundarik Mahashaya sat there, it appeared as if he were a prince. He sat on an opulent reddish couch decorated with brass armrests. There were three opulent canopies above his head. Next to him was an opulent bed covered with fine silk cloth and having pillows on all sides. There were five or seven big and small water pots. There was an opulent brass container filled with already prepared palm. Two opulent spittoons were on his two sides. He smiled as he chewed pan and looked at his lips. Two persons constantly fanned him with opulent fans made from peacock feathers. His forehead was decorated with sandalwood paste tilak and dots of sandalwood paste and vermilion. What can I say about the wonderful style of his hair, which was anointed with fragrant amalaki oil? By the influence of his devotional service, his body appeared like that of Cupid. Anyone who did not know him would certainly consider him a prince. In front was a wonderful palanquin equipped with all the accessories. By his paraphernalia, he appeared to be a materialist. On seeing his materialistic form, some doubt arose in the heart of Sri Gadadhar. Gadadhar Mahashaya had been renounced from the time of his birth, so he developed some doubts about Vidyanidhi. "He is a great Vaishnava? His appearance, with his opulent foodstuffs, opulent dress, and opulent hairstyle, is completely like that of a materialist." Gadadhar had good faith in him after hearing about him, but now that he saw him, that faith was lost. Understanding the heart of Gadadhar, Sri Mukunda happily began to reveal Vidyanidhi's glories. "By the mercy of Krishna, nothing is unseen or unknown to Gadadhar, for Krishna is the Lord of Maya." Then Mukunda, who sweetly sings the glories of Krishna, began to recite some verses glorifying devotional service. The witch Putana mercilessly kills children. She tried to kill the Lord with poison, yet the Lord awarded her the position of mother. How can a foolish person not worship such a merciful Lord? Then Srila Vishnu Vrindavan Das Thakur quotes the verse, "Aho bhakiyam stanakala kutam jigam sayapaya adapya sadhi lebe gatim datrichitam tatanyam kamba dayalum sharanam brajema." From the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. "Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, Putana, although she was unfaithful, and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast." So in this way, let me read a couple more verses. As soon as Vidyanidhi heard this description of devotional service, he began to weep. The unprecedented flow of tears from his eyes appeared like an incarnation of Ganga Devi. All the symptoms of ecstatic love, like tears, shivering, perspiration, losing consciousness, hair standing on end, and loud shouting simultaneously manifested in his body. He roared loudly while exclaiming, "Go on reciting, go on reciting." He could not remain steady and fell to the ground. He broke all the surrounding paraphernalia by the kicking of his feet. Nothing was spared. What happened to the opulent pond container and the nicely prepared pond? What happened to the water pots that were used to drink water? Where did the bed fall by the kick of his feet? Out of ecstatic love, he tore apart his opulent cloth with his two hands. What happened to his opulent hairstyle as he rolled on the ground and cried profusely, "O Krishna, my Lord, O Krishna, O my life and soul, you have made my heart hard like wood or stone." He lamented and loudly cried, "In your present incarnation, I have been deceived." So this transcendental feelings of separation was manifested by Pundarik Vidyaniti for 6 hours. Gadadhar Pandit, of course, he was very lamenting when he saw this manifestation of love, and he thought that the only way I can get free from this offense is that to accept him as my spiritual master. And of course, Gadadhar Pandit, Mukunda and Gadadhar Pandit, I guess they waited there 6 hours, and they requested Pundarik Vidyaniti that Gadadhar Pandit wants to take initiation from you. For actually the transcendental identity of Pundarik Vidyaniti is described as the, as previously he was the father of Srimati Radharani, King Vrishabhanu. Gadadhar Pandit himself was that Srimati Radharani incarnation. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was also in the mood of Srimati Radharani, so he accepted also Pundarik Vidyaniti as his father. Therefore, he called him Pundarik Bap, father of Pundarik. This, of course, other pastimes are there when he was very good friends with Swarup Damodar. And one time he came and stayed in Jagannath Puri with for the during the Rath Yatra festival, he stayed after that, and in the winter time, December, sometime in December, usually it's in December, the Odan Shasti festival took place, where they dressed Lord Jagannath in new unwashed clothes, starched clothes, and Pundarik Vidyaniti found some. Thought this was very strange, how they were watching, worshiping Lord Jagannath in this way, because this is not according to scriptural regulation. Usually you have to wash the cloth before it's offered to the Lord. New cloth shouldn't be offered. So anyway, of course, the pastime is there that Lord Jagannath and Lord Balaram, they came to Pundarik Vidyaniti in the dream and slapped his cheeks very hard. He was swollen the next morning. When Swarup Damodar came to see him, he said, "Come, let's go. What are you doing still in your bed like that?" He said, "Oh, I have to show you something." So this is the very wonderful chastisement by the Lord that is described, that even Lord's sons, Prajumna and other sons, they didn't get such chastisement by the Lord. That was the special mercy that Pundarik Vidyaniti got like that from the Lord Jagannath. We have some other notes. So today is also the appearance day of, who's next? I think Raghunandan Thakur is next, because he was in terms, I don't know, I actually have his birth date. Raghunath Das Goswami was born 1494. That's what, about 8 years after Lord Chaitanya? Raghunandan. Raghunandan would be maybe junior then, because he was the son of Mukunda. So we can go to this Raghunath Das Goswami. He's, of course, one of our six Goswamis, very nicely described by Srinivasacharya in his Shad Goswami Ashtakam, the six Goswamis, how they were engaged in devotional service in Vrindavan. They were all, in that description, Srinivasacharya describes that Tyakva Turnamasesha Mandalapati Srinam Sadat Tuchavat, that they gave up their association, aristocratic association, just very Tuchavat, very insignificant. Of course, Rupa and Sanatan, they were big government ministers. Raghunath Das, he was no less. His father, Govardhan Majumdar, and uncle, Hiranya Majumdar, they were big, they were just like, they weren't exactly tax collectors. Actually, I just found out, it was a very nice description while researching this, is that they had tax collector that was their servant. And at one time, this tax collector was none other than Gopal Chakravarti. Because one time they, in the house of Govardhan and Hiranya, they invited Thakur Haridas, and he was describing the glories of the holy name. And this Gopal Chakravarti, he became very envious. He said, "Why are you saying that you can get all these wonderful benedictions from chanting the holy name, that simply by Nama Das you can get liberation? How can you say such thing? If these things are not true, then I curse you that your nose will fall off, or cut off your nose like that." So, of course, first reaction was that this Govardhan and Hiranya Majumdar, they dismissed this Gopal Chakravarti from their service. Their time, of course, they were collecting, they had this service of collecting taxes. This Gopal Chakravarti was there taking that, taking care of that business for on their account. They were collecting, what did they say, 12 lakhs coins. Later on, it's described that they were actually misappropriating. They were taking 15 lakhs, and the person whose position they took over was one Muslim person, and he became very envious when they found out that they were taking 15 lakhs instead of 12 lakhs. Of course, that exchange now is completely, practically inconceivable, the exchange rate, what it is now and what it is what it was back then. Even Srila Prabhupada's time, I don't know, I can't remember exact details, but something like a three rupees or something, you could buy 80 pounds of rice, something like that, in his childhood. So that time, 12 lakhs rupees in a year was, they were just like kings, and they used to maintain all the brahmanas of Nadia district practically. They were giving them land and cows and giving them so much support. So this way, anyway, of course, Gopal Chakravarti lost his nose by leprosy, you know this story. And so anyway, when this, it's described, I think it's later a chapter, what is that? That was in the Antya Lila, chapter 6. It's described that Lord Chaitanya meets Raghunath Das. In the Madhya Lila, chapter 16, description of the Lord's travels to Vrindavan. We're reading from that book right now, but it's not here, I guess. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya, when he was attempted to go to Vrindavan, it was he turned back from Bengal, but on the way he went to this area, Saptagrama, and this was Lord Raghunath Das Goswami, he had this first opportunity. He had heard, actually, because Raghunath Das, he was the spiritual master of his family was this Yadunandan Acharya. This Yadunandan Acharya was the disciple of Vasudev Dutta. So there's some connection there like that. Vasudev Dutta and Pundarika Vidyanidhi were from the same area. Raghunath Das was the disciple of this Yadunandan Acharya. And he had heard about Lord Chaitanya in this way from these personalities. And he heard that Lord Chaitanya had come to the area, the Saptagram, and he requested that his father to let him go and see him, because Raghunath Das, he was so renounced that in spite of, he was the only son of his father and uncle, so he was the heir to this fortune that they had. And he had a very beautiful wife, just like the goddess of fortune. And he was completely renounced with all that. His father and had so many guards to keep him at home. They had like 10 guards always watching him to see that he wouldn't leave home. But he requested, please let me go and see the Lord. Just for this, I'll come back then. And that's described in the 16th chapter of Madhya Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya gave him audience, and that time gave them very nice instructions that you should not become like this, what is that, monkey renunciation, Markata Vairagya. He said, don't become like immature renunciation. You should perform your duties and cultivate this renunciation internally, and in due time, Krishna will deliver you from this household life, this He described, actually, Raghunath Das's description. He gave, actually, a very nice connection was there also between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the family of Raghunath Das Goswami. That, who was it? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's grandfather was Nilambara Chakravarti. Jagannath Mishra was his father. Nilambara Chakravarti was just like the brothers of this Govardhan and Hiranyagundar, the fathers of Raghunath Das Goswami. So in this way, later on, we get to try to keep this in. Anyway, Lord Chaitanya, he instructed Raghunath that you should perform your duties very carefully, and in this way, Raghunath Das is very exemplary in how he performed his duties. There's one example is there that this Muslim that the Majumdars had taken his position over, he became envious, and he got them thrown in jail. He was going after them to throw them in jail, but they had heard about it, and this Haranya and Govardhan, they took off someplace. They went away so that he couldn't find them. So instead, he arrested Raghunath, and this Muslim, he was looking at Raghunath, thinking he should beat him. But when he saw the face of Raghunath and his atmosphere that he created was so much spiritually surcharged that he was not able to give any punishment. And he also thought, because Raghunath Das, this is another very important thing, is that he was not born in what is called a Brahmin family. These were Kayasta family. Sometimes there are some foolish persons, caste Goswamis and such persons, that criticize him in this regard. Of course, followers of Rupanuga devotees, they don't, they are very much, they cannot tolerate such insults to a great Vaishnava like Raghunath Das Goswami. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very much against such personalities, fought against them. But Kayasta, they were a very important community, that they were very respected, and that they were very intelligent and very business-minded. They could take care of things very nicely. And this Muslim, he thought that, that he has such great influence that if I give some punishment, that that may get some reaction in society like that. So eventually, Raghunath Das was very, diplomatic. He's given this example there, that how he was very diplomatic with this Muslim that had arrested him. And he talked to him in such a way that this Muslim was agreed to meet with his uncle and make some, reconciliation like that. So this was actually taking part, and this is one example that is given sometimes, how a devotee is expert in all types of affairs. How Raghunath Das was very expert in this way. So, of course, that very long story. We could go on about Raghunath Das for days, but that he was, after some time, he heard that Nityananda Prabhu was coming, came there near Panihati, and he again got permission and went to see Nityananda Prabhu, and they had this big festival, this Chittadahi festival, where he offered Nityananda Prabhu this flat rice mixed with yogurt and condensed milk, and they made huge festival at Panihati. This festival still goes on. ISKCON is very nicely continuing on this festival. But even before ISKCON took part, this festival continued on. And this time, Nityananda Prabhu, he blessed Raghunath Das, that you'll very soon get the shelter of Lord Chaitanya. And that story goes on that somehow or other he escaped from his family in spite of being guarded. He went to Jagannath Puri at the same time that big group of devotees were going, but he went on the side back roads like that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw Raghunath Das, he was very pleased. He put him under the care of Swarup Damodar. He said that, "I have three Raghunaths, but now you'll be called Swarupera Raghunath," but under the care of Swarup Damodar. And this way, I think something like 16 years he was serving in that capacity. Swarup Damodar was like the secretary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Raghunath Das was his secretary like that. He had so much experience then from the later pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed from this world, Swarup Damodar also departed. Raghunath Das wanted to go to Vrindavan and give up his life by jumping from Govardhan Hill. Sometimes we say that this is a nice example of how Govardhan Hill is actually sinking from separation of Krishna, that you can't jump nowadays from Govardhan Hill to kill yourself. But that was the intention of Raghunath Das. He went to Govardhan Hill to kill himself by jumping from Govardhan Hill. Rupana Sanatan Goswami, when he went to see them and take their blessings, they stopped him from committing such an activity, because they were very much concerned that they wanted to hear from him about these later pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this way, there's so many wonderful activities of Raghunath Das in Vrindavan, how he excavated Radhakund, Chamakund, and his exemplary devotional service. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described that his regulative principles were just like lines in a stone, that you can't rub the lines away in a stone like that. They're ingrained in the stone. Raghunath Das was so strict in his observance of devotional principles, offering the Supreme Lord 1,000 obeisances every day and offering the Vaishnavas 2,000 obeisances and chanting. It's described sometimes he was engaged in such activities for at least more than 22 hours a day. So how he could sleep like that. And of course he was taking only a little butter milk every day like that. Sometimes butter is described, or lassi. So he had one servant one time. Anyway, that's a different story. We'll talk about that. But there are some other stories that when he was excavating Govardhan, Radhakund, how that took place was a very nice story, that he was thinking that, because he was living on the shore banks of Radhakund, and simply living under a tree like that. One time, Sanatana Goswami came there to see him and Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and he saw that while where Raghunath Das was chanting, sitting and chanting his japa, one tiger was passing by like that. And the tiger came and drank from the kund and then walked away, leaving Raghunath Das alone. But
there's a painting actually there at Radhakund.
Of this of Krishna protecting Raghunath while this tiger is walking by. And that's actually mentioned in the Bhakti Ratnakar. In the painting there's actually two pastimes going on. I don't know where the reference of the other one is, but they say that the Radharani was holding the sari over his head while he chanted his japa once in the heat of the sun to protect him from the sun. Anyway, I don't know where that comes from. But anyway, somehow or other, Sanatana Goswami Sanatana Goswami convinced him that he should have a bhajan kutir built so that he could perform his bhajan without any disturbance, especially by taking service from his Lord. They say it like that. So, of course, that time, we read this description of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he came to discover Radhakund, Chamakund. It was just like some paddy fields, some little water and depression in a paddy field. And forest was around there. Raghunath Das, when he was living there, he was thinking that later on devotees will come from all over the world, and it would be very nice if these kunds could be excavated and made very nice ghats, bathing ghats and like that. And so he was thinking, for this activity we need some money. I said, oh no, this Raghunath Das was so renounced, he chastised himself like that, just thinking why I should think of such things. Oh, there's such a wonderful description of how Raghunath's renunciation was manifested in Jagannath Puri, how he started accepting the remnants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he took from the shopkeepers, and then eventually he ended up eating some rice that even the cows were not eating because it was decomposed. The rice that no one had eaten, Jagannath's prasadam, that had thrown to the cows, that even the cows wouldn't eat because it was so bad. So he was so renounced in this way that he would take this rice and wash it and eat it. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also came and offered, requested for a morsel of this. So Raghunath Das was so renounced, he just felt very remorseful when he was thinking about this excavating the Kunz and needed money like that. But Krishna, so kind that the devotee's desires are always, this is the business of Krishna, to fulfill the desires of the devotees. He appeared in a devotee's dream that who was in Badrinath. Badrinath, he was a rich merchant like that, and he had brought some big donation he was offering to Badrinarayan. But Badrinarayan came to him in a dream and said, no, you take this money. I don't need this money. You take it to Braja, Radhakund, Shyamakund, and offer it to Raghunath Das and tell him that he may not want to accept it, but you should tell him that you have a desire to excavate these kuns. So in this way, that took place. Raghunath Das accepted the money, made the nice kuns there. And this description is there about how the Pandavas were also living in the form of trees on the banks of Shyamakund, so that way Shyamakund is not exactly rectangular like Radhakund. So many wonderful pastimes are there, but and we actually I think we should have spoken about Vishnupriya Devi. There's actually not that much found about Vishnupriya Devi. Of course, she's the consort of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after Lakshmi Priya. Vishnupriya was married by the request of Sachi Mata, and that arrangement was made by Kashinath Pandit, and she was the son of, she was the daughter of, Sanatan Mishra. Actually, there's this big description in Chaitanya Bhagavat about the marriage of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Vishnupriya. That can be studied any time. But mostly it's a very long description of the procession through Navadvip, how the procession is taking place and all the people are seeing and appreciating the beauty of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Vishnupriya Devi. One thing outstanding is that Vishnupriya had a nice deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that is being worshipped now in Navadvip. And she would, she performed great austerities. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with his devotees, when his devotees executed austerities in his service like that. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he offers prayers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vairagya Vidya Nityabhakti Yoga Shikshartha Mekhatra Vishapurana. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, Shikshartha, in order to instruct people on these principles, Vairagya Vidya, knowledge and renunciation, Vairagya Vidya, Nidya Bhakti Yoga, performing devotional service along with these two items, Vairagya and Vidya. So Vishnupriya, she performed after Lord's departure. I think it's described as a Chaitanya Mangala by Lochandas Thakur. There's some description of Lakshmi Priya's, Vishnu Priya's conversation with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before he went to take sannyas. Of course, the Lord pacified her somehow or other. Or she accepted the Lord's intention. And after that, of course, she was, as described, that Srila Prabhupada said something like 16 years of age, she's separated from her Lord, and she performed great austerity. She used to chant one round Hare Krishna mantra and count that round with one grain of rice like that. And at the end of the day, without how many grains of rice she had counted from her rounds, she would cook that and offer it to her deity of Mahaprabhu. Dameshwar Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu they call. And this way she was maintaining her life. So Raghunandan Thakur is there also. We heard some from Govinda Prabhu read something before class, and I think that pastime was also sometime previously where we passed that description of these three brothers, Mukunda Madhava and Narahari. They were described in the same chapter, or maybe the last chapter, Chaitanya Charitamrita, that we're reading. But I found some other references there that some things that were not described earlier is that Raghunandan Thakur, his uncle was Narahari. Narahari was the oldest of the brothers. Mukunda was his father. He was the youngest. So Raghunandan, it's described that shortly after he became very famous as a great devotee. One time this Abhiram Thakur, he came to visit him. Abhiram Thakur had great reputation. They say that he was offering obeisances to different offspring of Nityananda Prabhu. Some daughters were there, and they departed from this world immediately when he was offering obeisances like that, until Vira Chandra and Ganga Devi, I think, Ganga Devi, took birth. They were worthy sons of Nityananda Prabhu, son and daughter of Nityananda Prabhu. And like that, Abhiram Thakur was very powerful like that. His description is there, at least Chaitanya Charitamrita Srila Prabhupada describes how Abhiram Thakur, he would offer obeisances to any deity that was not properly installed, or some Shalagram Shila that was not actually a Shalagram Shila. The stone would crack. He was so powerful, personality. They say that he was actually was a Sridham, and he had not left the world since the time of Lord Krishna. He was hiding in some cave in Govardhan like that. That's another story, but anyway, Nityananda Prabhu brought him to Navadvip to join in the Lord's pastimes. He came, this Abhiram, such a personality, he came to offer his obeisances to this Raghunandan Thakur. And his Mukunda, his father, he told the Abhiram, no, he's not here now. And he sent him away like that. But Raghunandan, he was not present at that time. Raghunandan, when he heard that Abhiram had come to see him, he went immediately and he chased after him and found him, eventually caught up with him. And they offered obeisances to each other. Raghunandan was unharmed like that. And they, because Raghunandan was a great, of course, a great, very great personality, they began dancing and chanting. And it's described that his ankle bell, Nupur, fell some 2 miles away into one kund. And I don't know, somehow they retrieved that Nupur. It's still being worshipped in the temple with the, what is that, in Puglia? With the one other pastime is interesting. The pastime is there just that the after the disappearance of Narahari, they had a big festival. Raghunandan invited Srinivasacharya to preside over that festival. They offered bhoga to Narahari at his bhajan kutir. And after the offering, when Raghunandan came inside there, he saw that Narahari was sitting there very peacefully like that after enjoying his prasadam. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Today is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's disappearance day. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, of course, we're every day singing his composition, Gurvastakam? Samsara verse in ISKCON like that. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he was a great personality in our line. He was came in the later on after Narottam, Srinivas, and Shyamananda Prabhu. Sometime after that, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was the... He also had a very nice connection. He was he used to worship this Govardhan Shila that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had given to Raghunath Das Goswami. When Raghunath Das Goswami was staying in Jagannath Puri with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the secretary of Swarup Damodar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him Govardhan Shila that he had personally worshipped. And there's actually, you can see the impression where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to rub his thumb. And he also gave him a Gunjamala that these two items that were given to him by one other sannyasi who had visited Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had worshipped these items for some time, and he gave them to Raghunath Das Goswami. So this Govardhan Shila that came to the hands, through the disciplic succession, that came in the hands of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who was worshipping the Gokulananda deity in their and Vrindavan, that Govardhan Shila is there at the Radha Gokulananda temple in Vrindavan now. where we are. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he was a great, very great scholar. He was so renounced, he accepted householder life for a short time, and then he went to Vrindavan, and he's accepted many Vaishnavas from his time. Shortly after that time, they accepted him just like an incarnation of Srila Rupa Goswami. He was so prolific. He wrote so many, of course, commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, commentary on Bhagavad Gita that Srila Prabhupada mostly utilized for his translations, these commentaries by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's described that story is there that when he was writing, sometimes they were writing under trees or something. Sometimes if it was raining, it would be raining all around him, and the rain would not touch him or his manuscripts. And sometimes when the bright sun was shining, there would be cloud covering the area where he was writing. But he's also responsible that when the challenge was there in Jaipur like that, the Ramanuja, the Sri Vaishnavas were challenging the Gaudiya Vaishnavas because the deities were taken from Vrindavan to Rajasthan, and under the influence of the Sri Vaishnavas. So they challenged that the Vaishnavas, these Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they're not a bona fide Sampradaya. The bona fide Sampradaya has to have particularly one credential, that they have to have commentary on Vedanta Sutra. That is one of the most important qualifications to be a bona fide Sampradaya. So the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they didn't immediately have, at that time, they didn't have commentary on Vedanta Sutra because they accepted Srimad Bhagavatam as the commentary on Vedanta Sutra written by the same author, Veda Vyas. But anyway, the challenge was there, and they requested Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to help answer this challenge. He, under his order, he deputed this Baladev Vidyabhushan to write this commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So we have that for him. Be obliged to him on this. So there's so many things, I don't know, we're long over time to continue. If someone has any comments or questions, we can further discussion. No. One thing is that we are following in the line of the Mahajanas, Mahajano Yena Gatasapanta, these great personalities, they're actually show the principles, how to execute the principles of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada, of course, he's our immediate link to these great personalities, but Srila Prabhupada himself, he noted that his one qualification was that he did not change anything. So he's accepting, he's always accepting the guidance, the instructions of these previous personalities. He taught us this sadhu sangha, this sadhu shastra guru vakya chitte te kariya aikya, that we have not only guru, but we have shastra and we have sadhus. All these great personalities, they're we don't accept one without the other. We have to follow all on the path, see that there's no, discrepancy in following one or the other. They all have given the same knowledge and purport, the same goal is there, given by all. And if there's some kind of discrepancy or something that we can't understand, it's due to our shortcomings. We should understand that we are completely dependent on such personalities for our advancement in devotional service. And we have to take the opportunities for such days as this to pray for their mercy so that we can make some advancement in this process of devotional service. Because what is that? Shadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Payachakeva. That without their mercy, we can't make any progress. So, Hare Krishna. Prabhupada ki jai, Vaishnava Thakur ki jai.